Welcome to the Planet Yoga Podcast. Planet Yoga Liverpool, bringing people together.
Welcome to Planet Yoga Liverpool, episode 2. And today's interview is with Martin Zopa, who's a professional masseur, and with Martin Bone, who's also the owner of Planet Yoga Liverpool.
Hello, Trevor.
How you doing?
How are you getting on?
Doing good, yeah. Looking forward to today's chat.
Yeah, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Trevor, before, you know, we get on to Martin today.
Well, mine's an interesting story. I've recently moved from Spain. I was working out there as a photographer and doing media. And I came and did a class here in Planet Yoga Liverpool and met yourself and thought it'd be a great opportunity to start doing the things that I really want to do in my life. And so left Spain, came here, and you know, now we're doing everything that we can do to spread the word about what Planet Yoga does and get to meet some interesting people.
Oh, definitely. You know, it is a very interesting time for us. We've been open 2 years now, and you coming on board of Planet Yoga, we do feel as if you certainly are the missing link for us. And with your expertise, it is going to be a very exciting time for us to move forward. And yeah, we'll see where we go with it.
Great, great. So yeah, it's great that you know, we get to meet some interesting people. And whatever business you have today, it's always good to reach out to people through this great technology such as podcasts and internet websites and videos. And it's just the way that we're consuming information. So it's just part of the business now, and I'm lucky to be able to be in a position to be able to, you know, I see it as about helping people, and like yourself, it's about spreading the word of what you do as well, and giving resources and learning from people like who we're going to meet today, Martin, about his journey and what's helped him.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for anyone who's going to check us out on the website, Trevor's only been on board with us for a couple of weeks, and a lot has happened recently. And with your expertise in photography, videography, web designing, we're already going in the right direction, and I can see us you know, developing our friendship as well as you know, the business in the future. So let's get on to Martin anyway. Let's introduce Martin into the podcast today. Martin Zopa.
Hello.
How you doing, Martin?
I'm very well, thanks.
It's very exciting to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Martin, and how you came to Planet Yoga.
I came to Planet Yoga because I was looking for a venue where I could offer massage on a regular basis. I've been working from home for a while, and it wasn't suiting me, and I really wanted to have a venue that's away from home. I wanted to separate my professional life from my, you know, from what I love. And some, I went to a few yoga centers, and one of them recommended Planet Yoga. I hadn't been there before, I'd seen it. And then I came and met yourselves, and, you know, just clicked.
Yeah, I do remember. It was a few weeks back now, and I actually remember you walking through the studio and meeting you for the first time. You're a very striking gentleman, you know, very tall, and you just had a great energy about you. And for us moving forward, Planet Yoga, we do want to be going down that holistic route as well, not just using yoga to, you know, to help people release some tension physically or mentally, but to be using massage as well. We looked at a few, maybe, people in the past, but this does seem right. The fact that your name's Martin, a very quick story is that this building used to be an old bank, and it was called Martin's Bank. And yeah, sometimes these things are meant to be. So I was really, it just felt right, and we're happy to have you on board. So tell us a little bit about your role here at Planet Yoga then, Martin.
Well, my role is to offer massage, and I offer massages on Tuesdays from 9 o'clock till 5. And I feel that I complement the yoga. I mean, I participate in yoga myself. I'm obsessed with yoga myself.
Yeah.
And I do it 6 days a week, and I come to the lessons here. And the lessons here are excellent, by the way. And then after, either before a lesson or after yoga lesson, I offer massage to anybody.
Yeah, and I think that was something that you really wanted to get into, is making massage affordable.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
It's £15 for a back massage for 30 minutes and £25 for a full body massage for 60 minutes.
And how long have you been massaging then, Martin? Tell us, you know, your background, and how did you come into it?
off and on for about 20 years, just family and friends, and I just got really positive feedback. It's just something I love doing, and I love doing it naturally. Never in my wildest dreams thinking you can actually earn money from doing something I loved, because I always thought, you know, for your job you have to do something you hate, you know what I mean? That's the conditioning. And I had been doing that for quite a while, and then I decided that I needed to find a job that didn't stress me out as much. Because I've been working in prisons and mental health institutions and what have you for about 10 years, and it was very, very stressful. And I wanted to get out of that world. And first I got into baking, which is very connected to massage, because you know,
yeah,
similar moves when you're kneading the dough, and then the massage. And so I did a course at City Liverpool College. It's a 1-year course, level 3, complementary therapies, and we did Swedish massage, aromatherapy, and reflexology.
Wow!
And I loved it. You know, I was the only bloke in the class. all the teachers, all the pupils were women, and it was good. You know, it was terrifying at the time. And my suggestion to any guys listening who want to take a massage, you know, who are in a class of all women, bring lots of chocolate. You know, chocolate and you'll be fine.
You talked a little bit about the prison there, Martin. Was you,
yes,
massaging in the prison? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wasn't massaging the prisoners, but I was teaching massage in the sense that I was teaching self-massage.
Right.
So I was actually guiding, like, the funny thing, I mean, that's, you know, there's many differences between men and women, obviously, and with our culture. But, you know, in a lot of groups that I've taught in, you know, if you ask the women, have you massaged before, you know, 90% of the time they say yes. If you ask a group of men, have you massaged before, 90% of the guys will say no. So I was basically... start very simple, you know, start with a hand massage, you know, the right hand, say, massaging the left hand, and just working way to the fingers and what have you, and then graduating to the neck and your shoulders, and, you know, for about 10-15 minutes, this would help the guys, you know,
yeah,
massage themselves, you know.
Yeah.
So it's for me, I mean, because I've been teaching for a long time,
yeah,
like a natural progression.
Did you do any other work in the prison, Mark?
Well, I taught meditation. And as a prison Buddhist chaplain, that's what you do. You know, you teach meditation, and you also spend a lot of time listening as well to the prisoners.
Well, I know you've done the Vipassana meditation.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah. Would you like to just tell the viewers a little bit about the Vipassana?
Well, the Vipassana meditation is by S.N. Goenka, who really brought it to the West. He didn't invent the meditation. Obviously, been going for hundreds of years and thousands of years, invented by the Buddha. But he was a major part in bringing this to the West, and then having the package of 10 days, 10 hours a day, 9 other days, complete silence, and, you know, guiding you through from very much complete beginners to people who've been doing it for a long time. And, of course, they have Vipassana meditation retreats now in prisons as well. So if anybody's out there who's interested in that kind of thing, you know, doing time, doing Vipassana, which is fantastic.
There's an interesting video out. Is it the Dharma Brothers?
The Dharma Brothers, yeah.
Dharma Brothers is another one.
For those listeners that don't know, it's available. I think you can watch it on YouTube as well. And they actually went to America to some of the,
yes,
prisons. And some of the hardened criminals there found it so difficult to do, just to sit and to go through this process.
Yeah.
The responses and the results that they had were something else. Yeah, so it's quite amazing,
yeah,
to allow, and it's very good for they allowed that to come into the prison system. There is actually pictures of us all on the website. Martin actually has got dreadlocks and a full beard, and he looks the part. Do you find that helps when you're going into establishments, or you're meeting people and you're teaching this sort of work? Because do you find that the way you look also helps people to take you more seriously?
Well, you know, I'm not really doing my look for anybody else except myself. I think it sort of evolved as well, naturally. I mean, when I left the monastery in 2000, end of 2001, 2002, I was completely bald, obviously, no beard. But I wanted to test myself to see if I developed any kind of patience, because I tried to develop dreadlocks in the 80s, you know, when I was a teenager. I know that's hard to believe, that I was old, but... after 6 months, I chop it off because I had no patience. And you need patience when you grow dreadlocks. And so when I left the monastery in 2002, I decided to grow dreadlocks, and I did. And then I chopped them off in 2009. And then I started to grow them again. So this is the result of since 2009. So it's now about 5-6 years old now.
Wow.
So
the reason I asked that question is that if I was in a situation where there was somebody who was teaching me, who was dressed in perhaps a suit, right. And or more traditional way, I would naturally gravitate towards you because it's like you look like you know what you're talking about. So I think it definitely helps. Definitely.
I think appearance does play a big role. Without judging people from their appearance, mm-hmm. appearance does maybe play a big role in how people perceive, you know, who you are or maybe what you're about. And what I noticed when you first walked through Planet Yoga's doors was that you don't actually wear any shoes, Martin. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's something that's evolved naturally over the years. I mean, I've been barefoot for nearly 2 years now. And obviously, you know, that I try not to be fashionable about these things. You know, if it's minus 50 or whatever, you know, I'm not going to be barefoot.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be common sense with these things. But it really evolved from reading Born to Run, which is a fantastic book. Anybody who's into running is, you know, it's a fantastic book. But, you know, to start by Christopher McDougall, when you want to run barefoot, first you have to learn to walk barefoot. So that's really where it evolved over the past 2 years. And I just really enjoy walking barefoot. It's radically altered my relationship with planet Earth. You know, and I know that sounds grandiose and whatever, but it really has. You know, and I'm far more present because, like a lot of people, you know, I'm quite scatty brained. I can be 10 different places at once, despite years of meditation and yoga. When I'm barefoot, I actually feel every step. So I have to be more alert. I have to be more present. And I guess for me, that's what spirituality means, you know, be present, be here now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you feel a real connection to the earth.
Yeah.
And does that come through the soles of the feet, does it, Martin?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we had this conversation early on. I do believe planet Earth is a living, breathing, thinking, feeling organism.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time that we human beings treated that organism with respect that it deserves, you know. And one way we connect with that power, which I call my higher power, is by walking barefoot occasionally, you know, whether it's on the beach or on the grass or wherever, because you really do feel, you know, earthing, you know.
There's actually a book out called Earthing, and there's some scientific research now that backs this up. The fact that people can't sleep, and as soon as they remove the wiring within the actual walls of the bedroom, they can suddenly sleep. Mm-hmm. And that what you're saying is, you know, actually connecting to the earth is a lot more important. We will have a list of books that we mentioned during this podcast on the website, on planetyogaliverpool.com. And it's called Earthing, and I'll put the actual book cover up on there as well. So, but yeah, it's a very important point, I think. I think you can live in our heads too much, especially in today's society. Everything's visual, everything's instant, and we forget sometimes that we actually exist in a body as well. Yeah,
I agree. So, why would anyone take a massage then, Martin? Let's talk a little bit about what to expect when you're giving people a massage, and why would the individual take?
Massage is part of my spiritual practice. You know, like my yoga, like my meditation, massage is part of that. You know, it's about connecting with other human beings, you know, on many different levels at the same time. And obviously, to do this work, I've had massages from very, very many people. And, you know, you do operate what I see as on many different levels at the same time. You know, there can be just the physical massage, or there can be the spiritual massage as well. You know, and I always try, although I've never done any Reiki or whatever, I always try and tune into the body before I touch it. You know, I always close my eyes, say a prayer, and then let's my body and the person's body do what needs to be done. Obviously, they're lying there and I'm doing the work, but I can be massaging with my eyes closed, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like my hands know what they need to do to go.
Is every massage tend to be a little bit different, you feel, or do you have a structure that you followed through?
A bit of both. I mean, what I tend to do is what I do on the left side, I try to do on the right side, my number one, so they're not walking out like Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, the body, I do believe that the body speaks all the time. And I think, you know, you talked a bit about that disconnection. And that's why earthing is so important. I think it's important that we listen to our bodies, because all bodies speak. You know, the more we listen to it, the less likely we're to develop obesity, diabetes, cancer, what have you, or depression.
Yeah.
Because the body does let you, gives you warning signs. You know, all we have to do is listen.
Yeah. The person taking a massage, what would they expect in a massage? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think they can find a relaxation with firm massage, but also, I get positive feedback because I try not to follow the rules, as in I try to sort of work on different levels.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to describe.
Yeah. What do you feel that the benefits are taking a massage then, physically and mentally?
I think the benefits are about connection. I think as a species, particularly in the West, particularly in Britain, you know, we're the most touch phobic community on the planet.
Mm.
You know, we don't touch, particularly men. There's a lot of fear around touch. You know, we had this conversation
earlier
on. And I think healthy touch with boundaries, you know, where it's very clear. Obviously, when I massage people, you know, they're covered. You know, they've got a towel over them and all the rest. So, you know, it's very, very clear boundaries. And they also have to fill in consultation forms before I massage them. You know, that's a contract between
us. Yeah, it's a very professional service you provide.
It has to be professional.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if they have contraindications like diabetes, cancer, or the woman's pregnant, you know, or you've got thrombosis or whatever,
yeah.
Well, these things need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
So when I give the massages, it's about bringing them to optimal health as possible. Somebody asked me early on, you know, whether I consider myself a healer, and the answer is no, because I actually don't do the healing. I facilitate your healing process.
Yes.
So I'm actually allowing you, or encouraging you to your own healing process.
Yeah.
So I might make some recommendations, which then the client can choose to ignore or to accept. There might be a conversation about diet. There might be a conversation about exercise. The conversation go on many, many levels. But it's all about helping you to heal yourself better, like a bridge.
I was a tennis coach for 10 years, so tend to have a lot of injuries throughout my time. So it was always maybe down the route of sports rehabilitation. But it's the next question I'd like to ask Martin is, what type of massage is it that you're offering? Is it like a sports massage, Swedish body massage? You know, there are different varieties of massage that, you know, can be offered. So I've actually had I lived in Thailand for a while and I got a lot of Thai massage, which is a dry massage. So tell us a little bit about the service you provide.
Well, the massage that I provide can start with a dry massage, and then I use oils.
Yeah.
And I use a combination of sport massage, Swedish massage, and Lomi Lomi, which is where I use my forearms and sort of roll the whole body top to down. But also, you know, when I get positive feedback about my massage, I also try and explain that I have to train myself. I prepare myself, you know, on a daily basis. You know, every day I meditate, every day I do yoga, every day I pray, which I, to a power greater than myself, I choose to call God. So, you know, I carry that with me when I offer my massage, you know. And I think that has an effect on the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're a channel for the energy? Or do you feel like I said before, you don't consider yourself a healer, but you feel that you're working with higher energies when you're actually doing this work?
Well, I try to consciously tap into that higher energies or higher power when I give a massage. You know, I always silently pray before and afterwards, you know, to give thanks. You know, and I, when I start off, I pray. And it's weird talking about this, but because, you know, it's an internal thing. But, you know, I pray and I ask for guidance and, you know, give me the guidance to give this person the best massage
that
I could possibly receive. And at the end, I say, thank you for giving me that guidance.
Mm.
And the guidance is always there. So that higher power, it's part of the divine that I feel we have within us all.
Mm.
We can just tap into it and will.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, it's strange that, because I trained as a hypnotherapist and I used to work as a hypnotherapist, and that I used to do something very similar. And not in a religious sense, I used to think of something higher than myself, saying, help me do the best I can for this person. And I just used to, maybe it's something personally in me, but I just used to notice there seemed to be more more results and a better atmosphere and going in with that positive intention.
Yeah.
This is why I'm very excited to have you here, Martin. I think you've got a great mix of bringing along your own personal journey and your own beliefs into the work that you're doing. But also, you know, the amount of time you've been massaging, you've got that sort of professional side to it as such. And I know you're fully certified as well for any of the readers out there. So what do you get on a personal level from the service you provide, Martin?
I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction to bring joy to people.
Yeah.
It sounds naff, but I mean, I really do, you know. I think, I mean, I got that. I had that when I was working as a prison chaplain, but looking back now, I realised I was taking on too much.
Yeah.
You know, taking on other people's problems too much, and because I want to save the world, you know, I want to make the world a better place and all that stuff. And now I realise, actually, I'm just one man, you know, and there's very little very little that one man can do, but I can give my time to one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
At one time, and that can actually have a ripple effect, like,
of course,
like a stone going into a pond.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I'm operating on a more manageable level now,
yeah,
than I did in my 30s.
Well, you've only been here a couple of weeks, and you have done a handful of massages already, and the feedback we have had is, you know, really, really good. And so, as I said, it is an exciting time for us to have you on board, because the service we provide here at Planet Yoga is of a very high standard. So it is important that, you know, with regards to the teachers or, you know, other people who work here, that the service is, you know, top notch. So yeah, it's
for people that who are listening to this in different countries, and hopefully all over America eventually, what would you suggest that they look for when they're going for a massage, when they're looking for someone who provides what you do? What would you personally look for someone if you were going to receive a massage from someone?
Well, first of all, if anybody calls themselves a healer, I'd run a mile, because that gives the idea that they are something bigger than they are. And I think humility is so important in this work, you know, like any teacher, you know. And like I said, you get some brilliant teachers at Planet Yoga, like Debbie's a very good example.
Yeah.
She's humble. You know, she doesn't have to stand on an ivory tower and say, I'm the greatest that I've ever been.
So Debbie is, for those who don't know, Debbie is a yoga teacher that works here. And she's, everybody loves her. She's really good. So, and so you're saying that when you actually work with Debbie, the feedback that you get from her is that she's quite relaxed in what she does.
She's relaxed. She's humble.
Mm-hmm.
She's done the hard graft. You know, she spent hours, years, decades getting to where she is now, and I think she's a spiritual person. You know, with my definition of spirituality, and I define spirituality as taming and training the body and mind, and you can only do that by having like a regular practice, like meditation, yoga, whatever. Gardening is a form of meditation, you know, whatever, or spirituality, whatever works for you. So to go back to your question about, you know, what I look for in a masseur, you know, my gut has to tell me that this person is safe to be around.
Yeah, I agree. And
unfortunately, there's a lot of people who aren't safe to be around, who are causing a lot of damage.
In any profession as well, yeah.
And, you know, we have to be wary of that.
I do think safety is really important, especially when, you know, you are dealing with people's ailments.
Yeah.
You know, you never know who's walking through the door and what history they've got physically or mentally. And that's, coming back to it, that's why I think, you know, you are going to be... very big, you know, an asset to Planet Yoga with the service you're providing, Martin, because I feel as if, you know, you have got that spiritual element, very humble, you treat everyone as an equal, but you've also got that professional side to you, which certainly will go down well. Yeah, so it's all good. So I believe you lived in a monastery, Martin, in Scotland. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I like to take things to extremes.
Yeah.
And I know it's an extreme. This is something that I felt I needed to do, and I'm sure this is way beyond what most people do, but I actually left my home. I was living in Liverpool at the time, and I was working as a festival facilitator, director, organizer. You know, I was doing performance poetry, organizing festivals and stuff like that. And I burnt out the first time. This was in my mid-20s. And by that time, I'd been visiting this monastery in Scotland for a few years. And I learned how to meditate there. And I was just drawn to Tibetan Buddhism, the Kagyu sect of Tibetan Buddhism, which is more interested in retreat and meditation. And then I decided to move there, you know, in the late 90s. And I did, you know, and I became a monk. And I was there for about 5 years living as a monk. And that really confirmed to me the whole story about reincarnation.
Yeah.
That, you know, I have been here before.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, like, I believe we've all, you know, I'm sure we've met before in previous lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think none of this is a coincidence. And with the Tibetan Buddhist monastery, as soon as I had my robes on, I just felt home. You know, I felt this is me from lifetimes ago. So although I never managed to pick up the Tibetan, I did connect with that culture.
Yeah.
Which again is a holistic culture.
Yeah.
So it's an attitude towards health and well-being. It's holistic. It's not just focusing on the physical, but it's focusing on the mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, sexual.
Yeah.
You know, it's all one, and that's the attitude I bring to the work that I do. You know, that, you know, you when you talk about healing, you have to look at all these aspects, because all these aspects bring about health.
I agree. What benefits did you get from the experience? What did you gain from it?
Well, I got listened to.
What did you learn?
You know, my gut told me a friend of mine unfortunately passed away in his 20s, and that knocked me for six. You know, someone that I knew, you know, and he passed away, and he was only 24, 25, and it's just a wake-up call. You know, what am I doing with my life? You know, where am I going? I just finished I've just done a degree at Liverpool University, which I came here to do. And then it was like, well, what do I want to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And my gut said, go to this monastery, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm still surprised that nowadays I'm no longer a monk, because when I went there, I thought that was it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, my abbot has other ideas. You know, after 5 years, he decided it was time for me to move on, and I did.
Things change.
And he was right, of course.
Probably that sense of that commitment when you said, this is it, and you that belief that that was your life,
right,
that allowed you to fully immerse in that experience. If you thought, well, I'm only here for a couple of years, it's probably a different thing. And like you said earlier, a lot of people, whether the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s or 60s or whatever age they are, get to a point where I think a lot of people question, even more so now, they question the life. What am I doing? What is my purpose? You know, what is the next step? Perhaps, you know, it's a woman who's been married and she's raised kids, and then suddenly think, I need to do something else. Or, you know, it could be some person who's had a business, successful business, and they're not feeling it. I think it's that need of having a sense of purpose and having a sense of needing to be fulfilled at some level. And today everything's very superficial.
Mm.
Just buy, throw it away, and everything's consumable. And so it's great that you've actually committed to something that you, and found your path. The same with you, Martin. You've built this Planet Yoga, and you brought so many people together and affected so many people's lives in a positive way. I think that's the key. If you're doing whatever you're doing, if you can meet them needs of yourself and actually improve other people's lives, I think it's, as they call it, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I do feel as if I am where I'm meant to be, and it's a nice place to be in. And you know, it is a part of my journey at the moment where I feel as if it is a big purpose of mine to hold this space and to bring people together, you know, and use yoga as a tool for people to reach some goals, and also, you know, to have people like yourselves, Trevor, who are developing a friendship, but also you offer a great service with regards, you know, the skills that you have, and yourself, Martin. So it is a very exciting time for us all. And as you were saying, I do believe in that we're all meant to be here right now, together, sitting here. So tell us a little bit about your views on that, Trevor. You know, Martin mentioned past lives before.
Yeah, like I say, I worked as a hypnotherapist, and I did some past life regression on people. And I always think it's good to be open-minded and sceptical about things, but not cynical. And I had a few experiences with people, and I did fascinating regression on a girl that I knew, who was my girlfriend at the time, and we were in Tenerife at the time, and regressed her back to another life in Wales, in a place called Robina.
Wow.
And she was in her 20s, and she was dying of consumption, and she gave me all these information. She worked in a flour mill and all this information, and she'd come out of the trance, and we were both amazed. And then we checked out the story. There is a place called Robina near Cardiff, and there was no sign of a flour mill. And then about 5-6 years later, I happened to be in Wales working there, and had a few days, and I thought, I'll go and check it out. And I went to the place where she said, this place. Yeah. And one of the places she mentioned was called the Butcher's Arms. And she said, I drink in there, and she said, you're my brother. And she told me all these things about myself and about her life. And there was a pub called the Butcher's Arms, which I found. And I went in and I said to the landlord, I said, is this an old place? And he said, yeah, I'll guide you around, which was quite a strange thing. And he says, these are the pictures on the walls. And he says, and over there, there used to be a flour mill, but they knocked it down about 100 years ago, you know. And it was a flour mill. And then I went to the library and researched it, and all this information was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So I rang the girl up because we're still great friends, and she's like, I couldn't believe it, you know, it actually exists. So then I looked at my skeptical mind skills, saying, well, there's a theory about genetic memories, you know, if our eye colours and our genetic code can be passed through from grandfather to father to yourself, then why not memories? So there is that possibility, but on a higher level, my own personal belief is that we do reincarnate. We are energy, and we go from one lesson to the next. And I've had a few people that I've worked with, and we've done regressions, and they've experienced like phobias. One woman had a phobia of water going on her face, and we did a quick regression with her, and she was 1645. She was on a boat. There's a captain called Captain Munster, M-U-N-S-T-E-R. She was a cabin boy called Peter. And the last thing she remembers in that life was this big wave coming over and splashing on her face. And obviously that must have carried through her into this life. And as soon as she realised that, that was it.
Yeah.
The phobia had gone. So I'm a great believer in past lives, and that we come back to learn more things. But again, these are things that, unless you've got direct experience with, you can intellectually say, oh, that's interesting. But when you actually experience it, it's different. Mm. When you get it on a being level, it's something else. So, I'm not a skeptic anymore when it comes to past life regression.
I agree. I do think you do have to experience these things to actually feel it and believe it. Have you had any experiences of that, Martin, or is it just an intuitive feeling that you do get, especially maybe when you meditate?
Absolutely, but I've no direct experience of past lives, you know, not there yet.
Mm.
I haven't had a regression therapy yet. But I do believe that all our past lives has brought us to the present moment.
Yeah.
And if we want to see our future, we have to look at what we're doing in the present moment.
Yeah.
You know, our actions in the present moment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm eating crap food, then that's going to have a consequence in the future. If I eat healthy food, that's going to have a consequence in the future.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, you know, like my decision to stop drinking and taking drugs, you know, that was like a decision that completely changed my life for the better.
So do you think it's awareness first? Awareness of where you are in your life that makes you want to change something? You've got to be aware of something before you can really change it. As in, why did you stop drinking alcohol and drugs? Was it because you're aware of the fact of the negative effects they're having on your life? Yeah. Would you agree that awareness is one of the first things that people need if they're going to change anything in their life?
I think it depends what kind of awareness you're talking about. I mean, there's the intellectual awareness and there's spiritual awareness. You know, there's emotional awareness, there's mental awareness. And I just knew on a gut level, like on the gut level, that took me to my monastery in Scotland, Samuel Ling Monastery. That this was the right thing for me to do, you know, that I was playing with fire, and that if I, you know, I didn't stop, I'd end up dead. So
how would you differentiate between intellectual awareness and spiritual awareness?
Well, that's the challenge, and I think, and that's why I practice my meditation, my yoga every day. You know, it's like putting gold in the bank, isn't it? It's when the crises happen in your life that you can take that gold out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And use it for what it is. I think you just develop an awareness about what's right for you.
Mm. Do you feel as if Planet Yoga is the right place for you at the moment, Matt?
Absolutely, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, it opens my world up in many, many ways.
Yeah.
You know, one obvious example is I can massage women now.
Yeah.
But before, I'd massage women in my house, but I never really felt comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't either, you know. I mean, all men's going to come to a man's house that they don't know and take their clothes off.
Yeah.
Say, massage my body, please, you know. Obviously here, it's, you know, it, the boundaries are a lot clearer, it's more defined, it's safer.
More professional.
For you
it's
as well.
More professional for me and for them. And, you know, this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah. And I know we have talked about, you know, making massage affordable. So it's almost like, you know, taking a haircut or so tell us a little bit about that, because a massage can be very expensive, can't it? So let's just reiterate, how much do you charge for a massage? Is it 15 for a back massage?
Yeah, back massage, 30 minutes.
Minutes, yeah,
and for an hour, £25.
And that's a full body massage.
That's a full body massage between Tuesdays and Fridays from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, 4 days. And all that information is on the website, planetyogaliverpool.com. And how do people get hold of you then, Martin, to actually book in for yourself? Is there a couple of different avenues they can go down?
They look on the website.
Yeah.
And then they just call me, text me, and they book in.
That's good stuff. So just before we finish today, so I believe you're looking to do some workshops in the future, Martin, here at Planet Yoga. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things that I like to offer is just basic sort of examples and teaching about how different forms of touch and sort of wonderful touch and how to massage each other.
Yeah.
And again, I'll start off simply like, you know, massaging the hands, then your neck, and then, you know what I mean, then maybe the hands of your partner, stuff like that.
That massaging yourself, and then also maybe touch with your own partner on an intimate level. Yeah.
Well, intimate, obviously there's boundaries in place as well, you know, so when you talk about sensual massage, it's like it's between that area between, so your clinical sort of doctor kind of massage and the sexual, so between that whole spectrum called sensual. I guess that's what I, you know, that's what I'm into promoting.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't really know how to touch their partner as such, do they, or they're afraid as such.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think as a culture we're misinformed, you know, because of pornography, because of Hollywood. You know, we're misinformed about what is healthy touch and what is unhealthy touch and all the rest. So when actually it's a natural thing, it's something that human beings have been doing from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've just lost.
Yeah. I think from a male point of view, I think I don't know how you feel about this, but for women they're a lot more touchy feely. Like with men, it's a case of, especially in the sexual arena, it's a case of, well, you know, actually spending that intimate time connecting with your partner. It's quite rare, I think. It's something that I'm becoming aware of now. I'll talk to other people as well. Actually spending time to connect with them intellectually and physically and just touching without actually going to the fourth base, as we call it, straight away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's and that's, I think that's really important for relationships. Just not to have everything so formulaic, you know, where you know, a lot of couples can get into the same habit of just making love the same way, as where if you're actually connecting with your partner intellectually and physically and even spiritually.
Definitely.
It's a completely different experience.
I think that'll go down really well in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I mean, my inspiration really is from other cultures. You know, when you look at, for example, how, you know, when you get your hair cut or something in Turkey or India, you know, you get a massage afterwards, you know, and it's all part of the package, you know, it's not seen as a big deal. While in the West, you know, particularly in Britain, you know, we are one of the most touch-phobic cultures in the world, you know, and it hasn't always been like that, apparently. In the 1600s, you know, we weren't like that, but now we are. We've had the Victorian era, and touch is seen as something dirty or taboo or scary or whatever, awkward. So there's something about healthy touch that I think can be promoted.
I think also society today as well, it's gone too politically correct. You can't touch people at work because that could be considered sexual harassment, and so a lot of people are afraid to actually, then boundaries have been blurred a little bit. And I noticed that when people come up and they put their arm around, how you doing, and they hug you connect with them a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And you remember them. It's almost like there's a kinesthetic memory associated with that person as well as just Planet Yoga, you have a hugging club.
That's right, yeah, we do have a hugging club. We tend to run it once every 4-5 weeks with a great guy called Darren and a lovely woman called Nimi. And we've been running that for about 6 months and we've had some great success stories from that. And it's just, they get in the room, and you know, they talk you through the workshop, and it's just about hugging. And you know, it tends to release maybe a lot of emotions. So that's something that we're really looking forward to develop in the future. And there's a workshop on the 8th of March, the next Hug and Hub workshop, that'll be on the website as well, so check that out. And I think it's something that, you know, to anyone who's coming to try these things, it's just come with an open mind, and because, you know, that physical touch can open you up. It can help release some deep cracks or deep emotions which are hidden inside, and sometimes only physical touch can really bring these things out, can't they, Martin? So yeah, that's something that we're looking forward to the next workshop, and I'd like to invite you along, Martin and Trevor.
Yeah. I mean, I work with a friend of mine in Spain, is it called Dr. Carlos Chan. You can look him up on the internet, and he does psychodrama, psychotherapy, and he's got some very unique ways of dealing with trauma, and he believes that our trauma's in our body as memories, and he's worked with people who've had severe torture in say Argentina and Peru, and then he's worked with people who've had childhood traumas, and he's worked with other people, and he's getting some amazing results. And though he lives in Spain, he actually travels out to Sweden, but it's all about that connectivity and releasing that trapped energy in parts of our body. It's almost like parts of our body learn things and retain that information. And in hypnotherapy, there's a thing called part therapy, where parts of our unconscious learn things. So it makes sense that, you know, our bodies are like memories, that they retain things. So anything that can help release that is, I think, really valuable.
So just before we go, I know, Martin, you'd like to read a poem from a book. So fire away, and then we'll end the show.
The book is called Natural Mallet, From Prison Towards Inner Freedom. And the poem is a message from the Hopi elders. You have been telling people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell people that this is the hour. Here are the things that must be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in the right relationship? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside of yourself for a leader. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing very fast. It is so great and swift that those will be afraid. They will hold on to the shore, and they will feel like they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say that we must let go of the shore, push off in the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and heads above the water. See who's there with you and celebrate. At this time, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey will come to a halt. The time of the lonely wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones that we've been waiting for.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. Anybody who wants to contact us, they can do, and contact Martin, they can do. We're on our Facebook, which is Planet Yoga. All our information is on Planet Yoga, liverpool.com. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
That's been great. Thanks, Trevor. Okay, thanks, Martin.